1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath when he came to the town gate. A woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." God's word for our application this morning. Please be seated. As we share this passage, perhaps the first word that you may have associated with our scripture lesson and the mother of Zarephath was the fact that she was a widow. Many mothers today in America also become widows. Did you know, for example, that the average lifespan for a male in the United States today is 76.4 years? And for a female, the average lifespan is 81.2 years, according to a USA Today article. Now, the average American male gets married at age 29. The average American female gets married at age 27. I think we can all do the simple math. Even today, many mothers must face the fact that they will probably outlive their husbands. Michael, we're getting some feedback here. Thank you. Their husbands by 7 years. In our text, this records events about 874 BC. God commanded the prophet Elijah to travel to a village called Zarephath, which was a small village in suburban Sidon, a city today that still exists in the modern-day country of Lebanon. And perhaps Elijah thought it very strange that God would utilize a mother, a widow, to take care of him. But God doesn't necessarily do one thing at a time, does he? Our God is the master of multitasking. He was not going to just take care of Elijah, but God was also going to be involved in the care of a destitute widow who was not a Jew. In fact, she was an alien. I think there are times when things happen in our lives that just don't make sense. And is it not likely that we don't understand how many plans for us that God may be weaving at the same time? Can't we admire Elijah in that he did whatever God told him to do? We don't have any record in Scripture that Elijah protested the 100-mile journey that he had to take by foot to Zarephath. What if after morning worship today you felt the Lord wanted you to walk 100 miles? I think you'd start complaining. We don't know a whole lot in the Scriptures about this mother of Zarephath, except that when Elijah met her, she was gathering these sticks for fuel. We have no details about her name. We don't know how old she was. We have no idea what she looked like. But I'm sure this mother was very surprised to hear a strange, hungry, and thirsty man call out to her and first ask her for something to drink and then ask her for a piece of bread. How could Elijah dare ask a poor widow who was gathering sticks for her child and their last ration of food? You see, the mother of Zarephath was facing a faith test. She had to make a quick decision. Remember, she was an alien. She was not a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. She didn't grow up worshiping the Lord. She had to decide to trust God's word that was being communicated to her from a complete stranger. Don't you believe that she had some kind of a strong prompting in her soul that the Lord, the God of Israel, had sent this prophet to her for a purpose? You have to understand, in the Middle East at this time, it was considered a great honor to provide for or to house a prophet in one's home. I think there may be times in our lives when we lack faith. We don't have enough faith. But then God sends somebody our way with a faith that is so contagious, it is so contagious that it infects us as well. When she met Elijah, Elijah was certain about his faith. He had a certitude about God's promise and God's ability to deliver on that promise. Not only did the mother of Zarephath believe God's word, but she acted on it as well. She just didn't hear God's word, but she chose to obey it. She did exactly what Elijah told her to do. Even today, when many of us are faced with challenges, we have decisions to make, don't we? And some of you are saying, but I don't like to make decisions. But you know, when you've decided not to make a decision, you've already made another decision, haven't you? We have to decide, like the mother of Zarephath, either to obey God's word and plan for our life, or choose to be what would seem to be in our self-interest. We often perceive that our resources are short. We all have unlimited wants, right? But our resources are limited. Our needs may be great. I wonder if God has ever asked any of you to go the second mile and share what little you have with someone else who is worse off than you. This might be a hard decision to make. Should we do what God prompts us to do, or should we hold on to what little we have for ourselves? But the next time that we are tempted to ignore God's word and do the self-serving thing, let's remember this mother of Zarephath. What would have happened to her and her son if she had chosen not to obey the word of the Lord? Yes, God provided food for the mother of Zarephath. Not just for her, but for her son and for Elijah. But this is not the end of the story. She was going to face in her life another major faith test. And her very future was at stake when her son became ill and stopped breathing. You have to remember that in the year 874 BC, widows did not have any pensions. They didn't have any social security. The life of the son who was going to care for her in the future was being taken away from her. This was the boy who would grow up to become a young man and care for her in her older age. Who was going to provide for her when she could no longer do so? I know some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor, you said that word, social security. And I know many Americans wonder about the future of Social Security. Did you know, unless something changes by the year 2037, the Social Security Trust Fund is only going to have enough funding to provide benefits at 76% of current levels? Is it any wonder that some young people say Social Security isn't going to be there for me? And did you know that the average monthly Social Security benefit today for an aged widow is $1,204? In the matter of the mother of Zarephath's second faith test, in reality, she had no choices to make. Her son was dying. There wasn't any doctor. There wasn't anything she could do. She was completely helpless as she grieved the death of her son. And those who study grief tell us that the hardest grief to deal with is the grief of the death of a child. But don't each one of us experience the same two kinds of faith tests in our Christian lives as this mother of Zarephath experienced? I know sometimes we make responsible decisions. We save. We make provisions for the future. But other times, each one of us has been confronted with unseen tragedies that leave us helpless, unable to act, and we don't even know what to think or do next. Seemingly, when those tragic times come in our lives, there is absolutely nothing within our power to do. Did you notice in our text? In her grief, the mother of Zarephath screamed at Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God?" And I really believe she screamed at him. "Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Whoa. Can you imagine? He was like, I want to back away from this woman a little bit. She was blaming Elijah for her son's death. Now, what was the sin that she was talking about? The Bible doesn't tell us what sin this mother was speaking of. But regardless of what that past sin was, God had not abandoned the mother of Zarephath. Elijah, a man of faith, was in her home. Did you notice Elijah didn't raise the volume? He didn't yell back at her. Instead, he calmly said, "Give me your son." Elijah interceded by prayer for her when she had no place to turn to. God heard Elijah's prayer, and the Lord restored life to her son. It was an awesome miracle. However, God does not usually supply our needs with such an obvious miracle, does he? But the fact that we might not entertain a prophet like Elijah at our home, the fact that we might not experience in our life some divine, dramatic, supernatural intervention, does not mean that we can't devote ourselves to a ministry of intercessory prayer, because God is concerned about every detail of our lives. I'm not advocating that we set aside our brains and neglect our plain duty to work so that our basic needs are met. Perhaps all of us know of examples of when we have done everything humanly possible, and then God comes to us and asks just one more thing of us. We need to have the faith that He will be there to provide. What happens when our backs are truly against the wall? When it looks like we have no way out of our dilemma? We have to remember that God is still there and God will see us through it. Did you notice in our scripture lesson today how the mother of Zarephath's faith developed? In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12, she spoke of the Lord, your God. You see, the Lord wasn't her God yet. And in her intense grief after the death of her son, she accused Elijah of being a messenger of God's vengeance. But she didn't understand yet that Elijah, God's prophet, was not a messenger of vengeance. He was a messenger of God's love. But what happened when her son returned to life? She had a new faith. She had a new testimony. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." If the mother of Zarephath's faith had never been tested, her faith would not have grown. Her understanding of God would never have progressed. She would have remained a spiritually ignorant and untrusting individual. But it's when you and I face the horrible faith tests of life, tests in which we have to make difficult decisions, and there are times when it seems we have no good decision to make. It's in these conditions, when we turn to the Lord in prayer, that our faith can grow. It happens when we're looking at that jar of flour and it's just about empty. It happens when we're shaking that jug of oil and we don't hear anything. It seems that our future is being ripped away from us in one way or another through no fault of our own. We might be on the verge of losing the things in life that we think are most important. But like the mother of Zarephath, when it seems there is no way out, we are not alone. Yes, you may feel alone, but with faith. And I want you to understand, when you are facing a faith test, it is not the time to go into the closed closet and close the door. When you're facing a faith test, obviously you need to look to the Lord in prayer, but you need to also find in confidence a brother or sister in Christ to pray with you. With faith, and with that faith encounter with someone else. Remember, the mother of Zarephath had that encounter with Elijah. We can begin to realize that God is still there, regardless of our circumstances. Perhaps it seems God is in the shadows, but remember, He's promised to keep watch over His own. How often are we prone to forget the words of Christ found in Matthew 6:33 when we worry about having provision for the basic necessities of life? Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, the older I get, and guess what? Each one of you is getting older too. Don't pretend it's not happening. The older we get, so much of what happens in our lives boils down to a particular perspective, doesn't it? The same God who saw a mother in need in that dusty coastal village in the Middle East on the shores of the Mediterranean called Zarephath can still see you and I this morning. God taught her about Himself by bringing her to the end of her rope, by bringing her to the end of her physical resources. And even today, God can teach us to trust Him more and more when we conclude and when we admit we have come to the end of ourselves and our self-sufficiency. The next time when the chips are down and we can't seem to see our way out of our dilemma, let's remember, that's when the God of Elijah and the God of the mother of Zarephath, that God is still our God today. And He's here through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can continue to trust in His word and in His best plan for our lives. Let's sing about God's love this Mother's Day as you stand and turn to number 458, O Perfect Love. Number 458.